Jagannath Puri and came to the place named Ekamrekha, Bhuvaneshwar. And there in the summit of the best of mountains resides Lord Shiva and Parvati. And he went to a temple, Lord Shiva went to a temple there, and he said, there's a temple brilliant with all kinds of exquisite craftsmanship, and there was a flag, and it was anointed by celestial nectar and appeared like a snow-capped Himalayan mountain. Falling to the ground, Lord Chaitanya offered obeisances to that abode of Shiva and to the astonishing trident cresting its dome. Then he entered the city of Lord Purari, desiring to have a darshan of the great Ishwar. Tap it. Hare Krishna. Better? Okay. So Gauranga bowed his head and fell like a rod to the earth in front of that tiger-skin-dressed ascetic whose only residence was his body. Then Lord Hari, who wields a chariot wheel as his weapon, with a faltering voice and his entire body thrilled by ecstasy, offered the following prayers of praise to the Lord of the Mountains. Namo namaste Chirisheshvaraya Bhutari Nataya Mridaya Nityam Ganga Taranga Tita Balachandra Chidaya Gauri Nayanotsavaya. I repeatedly offer my obeisances unto you, controller of the 30 primal demigods, unto you, the original father of all created beings, unto you, whose character is gracious, unto you, whose head is crested by the sickle moon arisen from the waves of the Ganga, and unto you, who are a festival for the eyes of the fair goddess Gauri. Sutapta chami karachandanila padma pravalam burakanti vastra saritarangeshta varapadaya kaivalya nathaya vishatajaya. I offer my obeisances unto you, who are dressed in garments resembling molten gold, the moon, blue lotuses, coral, and dark rain clouds. Unto you, who bestow the most desirable boons on your devotees by means of your delightful dancing. Unto you, who are the master of the impersonalists, and unto you, whose flag bears the image of the bull. Sitam shasuryagni vilachanena tama videte jagata shivaya sahasya syupam shusahasya rashmi sahasya sanji tvarate jasesu. I offer my obeisances unto you, who dispel darkness with your three eyes, the moon, the sun, and fire. Unto you, who create auspiciousness for all living entities of the universe, and unto you, whose potency easily defeats that of thousands of moons and suns. Nageshwaratna jalavikrahaya shadula charmam shukadivya tejase sahasapatra parisanstitaya varangara mukta bhujadaya. I offer my obeisances unto you, whose form is brilliantly illuminated by the jewels of Ananta, the king of snakes, unto you who are clothed by a tiger skin and thus radiate divine effulgence, unto you who sit upon a thousand-petaled lotus, and unto you whose two arms are adorned by lustrous bangles. Sunu pararanjita parapadma ksharat sutha vritya sukha pradaya vichitaratna ka vigushitaya premanam meva yaharam vitehi. I offer my obeisances unto you, who bring happiness to your servitors as you pour on them the liquid nectar from your two reddish lotus feet, which ring with charming ankle bells. Obeisances unto you, who are adorned with an abundance of gems. Please endow me with pure love for Lord Hari. Shri Rama Govinda Mukunda Share Shri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva Ityari Ramam Mitapanamatta Vingati Payakhila Dukahantai. O Shri Ram, Govinda Mukundi Shari, Shri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva, you are the monarch of intoxicated bee-like devotees who are maddened by drinking the nectar of these and other holy names, and you destroy all grief. Shri Naradadhyay Satatam Sukavya Jigyasitaya Suvarapadaya Devya Harer Bhakti Sukapradaya Shivaya Sarva Gurave Namo Namah. I offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto you, who is forever inquired of confidentially by Sri Narada and other sages, unto you who grant favors to them very quickly, unto you who bestows the happiness of Hari Bhakti, unto you who create auspiciousness, and unto you who are the guru of everyone. Shri Gauri Netrat Savamangalaya Tat Prana Nathaya Rasapataya Sadasamatkanta Govinda Leela Granapavinaya Namostutubhyam. I offer my obeisances unto you, who are a festival of auspiciousness for the eyes of Goddess Gauri, unto you who are the monarch of her life breath, and unto you who are capable of bestowing transcendental rasa, unto you who are expert in forever singing songs, pastimes of Lord Govinda, with great longing. Etat shivastyastakam adbhutamaha shinvan hari prema laveta shikram jnanam ca vijnanam apurva vaibhavam yo bhava purna paramam samarpanam. A person filled with loving feelings who hears with rapt attention this wonderful eightfold prayer to Lord Shiva, some of you, can quickly gain Sri Hari Prema, as well as transcendental knowledge, the realization of that knowledge, and unprecedented powers. So all glories to Lord Shiva, who has so kindly appeared before us in this Hare Krishna. She was gone. Thank you. Anyway, last time Lord Shiva appeared, I was lamenting that I didn't sing these prayers. So this time I got a chance to actually glorify Lord Shiva properly in his appearance. So we'll start today's class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naranjaya Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tata Jayam Mudirayet. Nastapayesha Patishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamasake Bhakti Bhavatina Ishtaki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 24th Chapter, verses 60-69, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. Verse. Atreyam vyajate nishvam nishvashrin apapatiya tatram vamaparam jyotirakasham vavishtutam. My dear Lord, you are the impersonal Brahman which is spread everywhere, like the sunshine or the sky. And you are also the entire manifested universe. Indeed, you are spread all over the universe. Mukam karati vachalam pangam langate kupantam bande shivam tisharam om agyana timranasya garanchana shakaya chakshuri cham yaina tasamai shivarevana namam vishnu padaya kishna pishtaya bhutale shimate bhakti vedanta sanati name namaste sasati deve gauravani pachayame Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sarvagaurava. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So Lord Shiva is our guru, and he's instructing us how to worship Lord Krishna. First of all, we heard about Lord Krishna's expansions within this material world, and then we heard about the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, Shyama Sundar, whom all the devotees desire to see. And then yesterday,
the day before yesterday, we heard how to attain Krishna through devotional service. Although it's very difficult, Duratyaya, Duraradyam, even for Lord Indra, it's easy for Krishna's devotees because they engage in devotional service to his lotus feet. So we heard some of the characteristics of devotional service. Who can tell me one characteristic, Adi Purush? Yes. Sudurlabha. Very rare. Very rare. That was one. Even for Lord Indra, he's desiring. What is another characteristic of devotional service? Moksha Lakhadakrit. Okay? Another characteristic? Vaitukhi. How about from the verses we heard? These are all nice characteristics, of course, and we appreciate them very much. But let us dredge our memory for one more characteristic about devotional service. It's actually in relationship to Lord Shiva himself in one form. Madangopa? Age, yes, time. Time cannot affect devotional service, cannot take away the duration of the devotee's life, cannot touch the devotees. Time cannot approach the devotees who are engaged in devotional service. So Lord Shiva, actually, one of his forms is in the form of time, Kala Rupa. So this is in reference to Lord Shiva himself. And today we'll also hear another verse which is about Lord Shiva himself. That even Lord Shiva is afraid of Shiva, of Rudra. So Lord Shiva is explaining that last time what we heard about devotional service, how to get that devotional service is only by association with devotees. Just a second's association with a devotee can give you everything. Even you don't care about liberation or heavenly planets or anything. So what was Lord Shiva's prayer then, therefore? Sankirtan. Yes, to bless me by association of your devotees. That was his prayer. That's the benediction that Lord Shiva wanted. So today's verse is actually up to verse 66. Lord Shiva describes the Lord in a different way, how he manifests himself by his potencies. So he's describing now the Lord from his point of view as Lord Shiva. These verses will be more from his point of view, because Lord Shiva basically deals with the material world and the energies, especially the energy of Maya. So the Lord, first of all, describes how he's all-pervading within this material world, just like the sunshine, like the impersonal Brahman. So in one sense, the impersonalists are correct. And in what sense, if you can give me the Sanskrit, that would be nice. In what sense are the impersonalists correct? What are they right about? Maya tatamidam saram. Of course, they forget about the Maya part. Maya, they don't know it's Krishna. But that's true. Yes. It's all pervading. Yes. What's that? Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Yes, sarvam. This is the sense. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is Brahman, actually. Everything is spiritual. So they are correct in this sense. Jagat avyaktamurtina, matstani sambhutani. Yes, we'll finish it all together. Yes? You are covering everything, therefore you are everything. So this is Krishna in his form as the Brahman. Of course, it's not his form, it's part of his form. You can't cut off the Brahman from Krishna because it's part of him. It's his effulgence. It's Krishna. So the Brahman is actually Krishna also. So in what sense are they incorrect then? What is their, what are they lacking? Yes. Shakti, Shaktayo, Abhidam. Yes, they don't recognize, that's one thing they don't know, that the energies and energetic are equal. What's another thing they're not aware of? Yes. They think the energetic becomes the energy, or the energetic is coming from the energy. The source of the energetic is the energy. Yes. Nachamatstani mutani. Yes. So what is it in English that they don't understand?
But all the living entities
Yes. They are not situated in me, Krishna says. Oneness and difference. Yes, they don't understand. Simultaneous. Oneness and difference. Both is there. They are also correct. It's one. It's one, but it's also different simultaneously. So this they don't understand. Yes. Yes, how can one person, like me, sustain everything? Of course, they can't do it, so therefore Krishna can't do it. Therefore nobody can do it, if I can't do it. Yes? Yes. Yes, Krishna is not transformed. What's another verse from Bhagavad Gita? It explains the concept, I think, that Sankirtan brought up. There's a concept that he brought up. See, there's a verse, Brahmano hi patishtaham. Yes, that Brahman rests upon Krishna. That they don't know. They just see the part, they cut off the form, and they just try to see the, what's coming from the form. They don't want to see the form. They don't want to see the source, somehow or other. Only the light. So they don't understand that if you penetrate this light, and you will see the form of Krishna, where the light is coming from. So how is Krishna everything? Did we discuss this already? How is Krishna everything? All pervading by his energies. Yeah, so in Adi Purush explained how Krishna is not everything. So two ways. Krishna is everything and Krishna is not everything in one sense also. Because personally, he is not present. Personally, he doesn't have to do anything in this world. He says, "Na mam karmani limpanti." I'm not doing anything. I have no desire. I'm not. It's not me. Everything's resting on him. Yes. This is what the last line in Bhagavad Gita.
In the last
purport. Krishna is everything. At the same time, Krishna is different from everything. Natashikaryam karanam cha vidyate. This is from the Upanishads. Yeah, Natashikaryam karanam cha vidyate. Then the famous is Parashya Shaktir Vividhaya Vishayate. That I have so many energies, Krishna says. But I am not. I have nothing to do. I have no work. I don't do it personally. So in the purport, end of paragraph 1, Prabhupada gives an example of these facts. Similarly, the Lord exists everywhere. There are pious things and impious things, but in the Shastras, the pious things are described as the front of the Supreme Lord, whereas impious things are described as the back of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord clearly says, Mayat. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat abhyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhutani charankeshavastita. By me, in my manifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. This verse of Bhagavad Gita explains the Lord is spread everywhere by virtue of his Brahman feature. Everything rests in him, yet he is not there. Conclusion is that without bhakti yoga, without rendering devotional service to the Lord, even an impersonalist cannot understand the Brahma tattva, Brahman feature. So because the Brahman is connected to Krishna, so how can you understand Brahman without Krishna? You can't separate Brahman from Krishna, but they are trying to do that. They are just trying to separate it. But there is only Brahman and no Krishna. So therefore they cannot understand Brahman unless they engage in devotional service. So let's see, a few lines down. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate issue, and in this verse Lord Shiva confirms that ultimately the Absolute Truth is a person. He clearly says, Tattvam Brahmaparam Jyotir Akasham Iva Vistritam. Then Prabhupada gives the example of the businessman who has many factories. Just in Bhagavad Gita, I think he also gives this example, that the whole business rests on his head. But that doesn't mean everything is on the head, actually literally on the head of the businessman. It means by his brain and energy, he's running the business. So similarly, this world is resting on Krishna's, actually not his head, his feet. It's described mahatattva. Mahatpadam is on Krishna's feet. The samashitaye Parapalava plavam. Mahatparam punya yasho murari. So this whole material world is resting on Krishna's lotus feet. But it's not a problem for him. It's not difficult for him to do anything. Just by, we heard, just by his raising his eyebrow, he destroys everything. And just by his glance, he creates everything. And by his glance, he also maintains everything. So it's not very difficult. Does anybody know another name for the Brahman? There's another Sanskrit name. Jyoti, yeah. Another one is Swarochisa. Swarochisa. This is effulgent. His own. Swa means his. Swarochisa. So it's described that beginning of the creation, there's a purport, 2.5.11, and there's one sentence in that purport that I'll read. One sentence, which is very interesting about the Brahman. Just as a small seed of a banyan fruit has the potency to create a big banyan tree, the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by his potential, Brahmajyoti, Svarojisa, and the seeds are made to develop by the watering process of persons like Brahma. That's interesting. I never could understand how that was. Just now I got an idea of understanding this. Can anybody explain that? How does the Lord disseminate all varieties of seeds by his Brahmajyoti? Adi Purush? Yeah, that, yeah, okay. I'm thinking of something even more technical. Yeah?
The living entities are within the Brahman?
They are. They are Brahman. They are Brahman. And they're within the Brahman and they are Brahman. Yes. Sarvaga. Yeah, present everywhere. Anyway, what I was thinking was how, here it says, the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by his potential Brahmajyoti. Means gives out. So the Lord, how the Lord gives out the seeds, I was just thinking when he glances at the beginning of creation, then that's also, the glance is also, is a part of, it must be the Brahmajyoti. The glance of the Lord is the, also is also very illuminating in Brahman. So in that way he disseminates the seeds by his glance. So this is, these are very interesting verses by Lord Shiva, coming back to the material world now, where we are living, and we're trying to understand how it is, how these things are happening. Verse 61. Yamaya yeram pururupaya sisha vibhakti bhuya kshapayat yavikriya yabera bhuti sarivatma dushtaya tamatma tantram bhagavan pachimahi. My dear Lord, we have manifold energies, and these energies are manifested in manifold forms. With such energies, you have also created this cosmic manifestation. And although you maintain it as if it were permanent, you ultimately annihilate it. Although you are never disturbed by such changes and alterations, the living entities are disturbed by them, and therefore they find the cosmic manifestation to be different or separated from you. My Lord, you are always independent, and I can clearly see this fact. So here we're talking about creation, maintenance, and destruction. So remember the Chaturvyuha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, and Aniruddha. So of the Chaturvyuha, who creates? Who actually of the Chaturvyuha? Vasudev? Sankarshan? Sankarshan? Who? Sankarshan? Sankarshan? You have two votes for Sankarshan? Do we have anybody for Vasudev? Vasudev, one for Vasudev. Because we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jamayasya Yatonya. Well, you have something behind your statement. You vote, who, those who vote for Sankarshan, who can tell me? Yes, all are included in Vasudev. All are included in Vasudev. So Vasudev actually is Mahavishnu. As far as I understand, he's Mahavishnu. So I would also say Vasudev would be creating, although Sankarshan has something to do with it, no doubt. Sankarshan is Balaram, yes. Yes, he holds it, okay. He has to be there to hold it together. So the two of them together, they are creating. And who is maintaining? Actually, Prabhupada explained in a purport who is doing the maintaining, if you remember. Pradyumna, yes. Pradyumna nourishes and maintains, and the growth, it makes everything grow. And but there's another one also who helps in maintenance, very important. Maintenance. Aniruta, yes. The sun, the moon, all these things, they're expansions of Aniruta. So Pradyumna and Aniruta are in charge of maintenance and destruction? Sankarshan, yes. Integration and disintegration. Sankarshan. So here we have creation, maintenance, and destruction. Here, Lord Shiva is actually summarizing what he already said in his previous prayers. So these last verses today, these are the conclusion of all his prayers. So let's see, what is the... Oh, there's an important Sanskrit word in here which describes the Nitya Baddha living entity now in this verse. We heard about the Brahman, which is more or less the Jiva, Mukta. Now what about the Nitya Baddha? What's the Sanskrit in here that describes him? It's two Sanskrit words together. Yes, Adi Purush. Veda-buddhi. Veda-buddhi. Yes, what is this? Is separatist. Bhinadrik. Yes, again these words are coming in this canto. So many times we are hearing these words. Separatist mentality. So because, and this is the cause of creation, that's why we have this whole show here, it's because of the separatist mentality. We wanted a separate world where we could be the center. And so we have it. And now we're not happy. So Prabhupada says, in the purport about six lines down, some living entities are conditioned in this material world. They think themselves separated from the Supreme Lord. Due to their contact with material energy, their existence is always troublesome. Being always in distress, the conditioned soul considers the material energy to be very much disturbing. This fact is explained by Vaishnava Kavi Poi. Krishna Bhuse Jiva Nadi Bhagiruk Ateva Mayatari Deshang Shantiruk. When the living entity forgets the Supreme Lord and wants to enjoy himself independently, imitating the Supreme Lord, he is captured by the false notion he is the enjoyer and is separated from the Supreme Lord. This material energy is therefore very much troublesome to the spiritual energy, the living entity. But the material energy is never troublesome to the Supreme Lord. Indeed, for the Supreme Lord, both material and spiritual energy are the same. So in paragraph 2, Prabhupada talks again about the Mayavadi philosophers. They want to be relieved. They cannot understand this differentiation. And however, because a Vaishnava philosopher is in full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God, he finds no disturbance, even in the material energy. So we hear this, we were hearing this from Burijampu yesterday, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. So why is it the devotee finds no disturbance in this very disturbing and agitating material world? How does he actually maintain such a position of happiness, even in the midst of so much distress in this world? How can he be happy? Yes, Vanamali.
If somebody is not identified with his body and the subtle body?
That's one way. If he doesn't identify with the gross and subtle body, then he's very happy. But it might be hard to live in this world. So there must be something. Okay, that's a negative. We need something positive. Yes?
It's part of the Lord's
creation. Yes, it's the Lord's energy. It's Krishna's energy. So he sees Krishna here. How can you say, okay, I'm not this body, but then what? Okay, you're not the body, you're not the gross and subtle. Well, what are you? So we have to know who we are. So then, therefore, if everything is Krishna's energy, yes.
But it says there also that the soul is together with the super soul, and both are far away.
Both are far away.
The original place.
Yes, the super soul is also far away. Yes, we should not stay here. Even though Super Soul is with us, we should not.
Oh,
so you're saying that he's not that happy over here?
It seems so.
Mm-hmm. Well, why would Prabhupada say for the devotee it's not, there's no disturbance? Yes. Oh, we have another point. Well, maybe we should. Okay, well, let's just clear this one and then we'll go to yours.
I mean, I could think of, well, the relativity compared to the materialist, the yeah. is better off and he's not disturbed, but ultimately he's still not.
Actually, I think this will come up later, that the devotee is not living in the material world. He's living in the spiritual world. Even though he's within the material world, he's in Vaikuntha. Like the lotus untouched. So that's why he's happy, because he's not in the material world, even though he's in the material world. Yes?
We studied that verse that there are two kinds of people who are happy in this world.
Two kinds of people who are happy in this world. The fool and the transcendentalist.
Yeah, so yes. Most of the devotees are in between.
And we're all in between, and that's our problem. Or maybe, yeah, we're not foolish enough, or we're not realized enough to be happy. Vaikuntha consciousness. Yes, that's the answer. Yes. Yes. So there's a different, yes.
Never mind
the material world. But there is separation. Yeah. You do feel separation while you're in this world. There is some sort of separation. Vaikuntha. Yeah, in one sense there's no separation. Yeah, he's in the spiritual world, but he still feels separation, because even in the spiritual world there's separation.
Doesn't he see even the forms of the
object? He sees his Ishtadev. Now, why does he see it? Because he's in separation.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to your point now, because time is short. Right. It's not like that.
Yeah.
We can have happiness even here. Prabhupada says so many times. Right, we have to have this oneness and difference simultaneously. That there's, anyway, there's two types, yes, there's separation. So let's see, what Prabhupada says in the purport, how he finds no disturbance, this is because he knows how to utilize the material energy for the service of the Lord. So that's why. Then a few lines down, this material energy is troublesome for the conditioned soul, but it has nothing to do with the liberated souls who are engaged in service of the Lord. Because they don't even see the material world. And this, in 428.42, there's a purport there, and explains why the devotee doesn't see anything separate. It's because he has the same interest as the Lord. So when he's in this world, he thinks only, well, what is the purpose? What is his Lord's plan? What's the Lord's purpose of this world? And let me see how I can serve that purpose. So if you see the purpose of something, then you're not disturb, you understand everything that's happening. So Prabhupada says in that purport of 4.28.42, having attained the stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material worlds. So this is very advanced. That's why he's happy. And then Prabhupada says, then he goes on, in perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world due to his being the external energy of the Supreme Lord. When will that day come? When this world becomes a spiritual world. For the perfect devotee, the energy and energetic are non-different. So that's what the point you brought up, Madhavendra. Thus the so-called material world, so-called, Prabhupada says, material world, becomes spiritual. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord, and the expert devotee can utilize any so-called material thing for the Lord's service. So this is, and then Prabhupada says, if you dovetail something, then it's not material anymore. Thus the pure devotee in his perfect division sees from all angles. So that was Prabhupada. Prabhupada in the Bowery, he didn't see these, he didn't see the badness, he just saw the good of these bums. Yeah. Yes. Wherever you're chanting, that is, Krishna is there. When I was in Mayapur, one devotee, he showed me a video of a tribute to George Harrison. It's very, very, you've seen that. It's very, very interesting, I thought. That, and then I started to think about this person, George Harrison, that he was like, he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, should I shave up and become brahmachari and move into temple? I said, no, you just stay in your position But in that way, you can change the hearts of millions of people. So then I thought, well, if he can do that, If he can remain in his position and influence so many people, then he must be empowered in some way or other. Then when I saw this video and I saw 8,000 people, and even after his death, they were all chanting and dancing, and chanting Hare Krishna. Even they had the London Philharmonic Orchestra there, and they were chanting Hare Krishna. I thought, well, this person must be something special that we didn't understand. There is half of the program was Indian music, and all the Indian artists, Ravi Shankar and his daughter, they made up songs in glorification of George Harrison, and they made a song called Hari's Son. They took his last name and said he was Hari's son. Hari's son. It was really quite interesting, and then very impressive. And they were, so they did a tribute to him, and then they were playing his songs. Many of his songs were very Krishna conscious. And then at the end, they had 8,000 people, and there was this huge, huge, very high place, must have been 6, 7, 8 stories high auditorium, and they were showering flowers. It was very, very, very beautiful thing. And they were showering flowers, so it was like, wow, I was impressed, you know. Well, usually I don't watch these things, but somebody convinced me in Mayapur to see this. It was nice, actually. And so I just made me think that, wow, most of us would think, well, he's not a pure devotee, he was doing this, he was doing that. But after seeing all this, you know, 1 year after his death, thousands of people are chanting Hare Krishna because of him. And the devotee who showed me the video said that when he was a karmi, he got the My Sweet Lord, and then he heard the Hare Krishna and he became a devotee. And he says he knows other people who became devotees from hearing this record.
All devotees were selling.
Yeah, devotees were selling. Yeah, right. Right. And so anyway, then it reminded me, there is one purport in First Canto that we read. The Lord and his different authorized devotees sometimes have to play the role of many lower creatures to claim the conditioned souls. But both the Lord and his pure devotees are always in the transcendental position. So I thought of George Harrison with all these creatures. Because when you see the video, they look like creatures, some of them. And you think, these people will never in their lives ever come to a temple or chant Hare Krishna. But here they're all chanting, you know, suits and ties and then long hair and everything. You know, it made me think that how the devotees are transcendental, whatever position they're in. And another point is that Prabhupada knew how to use people in Krishna's service. He knew how to use Krishna's energy very nicely. So verse 62. Kriya kalaparidamevilokina sharhanvita saroya jantisidaye Vujanyanta karopalakshitam vede chitantre chitim kovida. My dear Lord, your universal form consists of all five elements, the senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, which is material, and the Paramatma. Your partial expansion, who is the director of everything. With the exception of the devotees, the other yogis, namely Karmayogi, Gyanayogi, worship you by their respective actions and their respective positions. It is stated both in the Vedas and in the Shastras that are corollaries of the Vedas, and indeed everywhere, that it is only you who are to be worshipped. That is the expert version of all the Vedas. So just now, reading this verse, I got a question, actually. With the exception of the devotees, the other yogis worship you by their respective actions and their positions. So what's the exceptional thing about the devotees? They don't worship you by their actions and their positions? What do they do then if they're not worshiping you? With all the karmis, yogis and jnani yogis, they're worshiping you by actions in their respective positions, except the devotees. So how are they worshiping then if they're not worshiping in... Yeah.
Yes.
So in one, they still are not completely surrendered. They still have some.
Because they're still worshiping devotees.
They're still... I'm offering this to you.
It's mine.
The bhaktas, they don't have that idea. It is yours, Krishna, and I'm just using it, giving it.
Yeah. Offering. Like, Ganga, you know,
like offering Ganga to Ganga. Okay, Maringopa? Yoginam api sarvesha. Right. So the devotees, beyond this, he's a kama. There's Prabhupada quotes, I think. Is it in this? Yeah, in this purport. Our theme song for this canto. Akama sabakama va mokshakama tarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham. So everybody wants something. But somebody wants the karmis and ganis, they want mokshakami and the sarvakama. But the devotee is akama, but everyone should worship Krishna. Akama, sarvakama, mokshakama. And in this chapter we heard a lot of sarvakamas who worshipped Lord Krishna, Daksha and Juva and Prachinabarhi. And there were some who were akamas also, prachetas seem to be, and Lord Shiva. They are worshipping in pure devotional service. So this is the understanding of this canto, that whoever you are, you should worship Lord Krishna. This we should, by the time we finish fourth canto, we should have this understanding. And without worshipping Krishna, they can't do their sacrifice. So let's see verse 63. More about creation. Tamekadya purishasuti shaktis taya rajasatta tamo vipityate maharaham kambaru ragnivartara surashaya bhuta gana iram yata. My dear Lord, you are the only Supreme Person, cause of all causes. Before the creation of this material world, your material energy remains in a dormant condition. When your material energy is agitated, the three qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, act. And as a result, the total material energy, egotism, ether, air, fire, water, earth, and all the various demigods and saintly persons becomes manifest. Thus the material world is created. So here we have a one-verse summary of the creation from the beginning where material energy is agitated and the Lord is there. He's only alone, cause of all causes, Tvameka Adya, Purusha. Then the material energy is sleeping, Supta Shaktis. Then he wakes up, wakes her up, agitates her. Then comes the modes are produced, the Mahatattva is produced, Mahan is produced, and all the elements are produced, and the sages and the demigods. So here is a summary of Sarga and Visarga in one verse. Very concise summary. So in the purport, Prabhupada poses a question, because we've heard that everything is Brahman, nothing exists but the Lord. So Prabhupada poses a question, a few questions. If the whole creation is one, that is, nothing but the Supreme Lord of Vishnu, then why do the expert transcendentalists make such categories as found in the above verse? It's all one. So why we say earth, water, fire, air, all these things? It's one. And then Prabhupada says, why do learned and expert scholars distinguish between matter and spirit? So there's two questions he asks. Two questions. Why do they make all these categories? And then he says, well, why do they distinguish if it's all one? It's all spirit, sarvam kalvidam brahma. Why? The answer is, Lord Shiva says, that spirit and matter are not creations of various philosophers, but are manifested by Lord Vishnu as described in this verse, tvam eka adya purusha. Isn't there some Western philosopher that's, I think, therefore I am, or something? Yeah, Descartes. And if it's not happening, then it's not. If I don't see it, it's not happening. Somebody, I don't know if that's the same guy. Yeah, if I don't see. So it's very interesting. One devotee was telling me that he was in New York and he got caught by the police for doing something. I don't remember what he was doing. And then he said, then the policeman asked, because he knew he was a Hare Krishna. So he said, he wasn't doing. He was probably just chanting or selling books or something. And so the policeman in New York, he was very philosophical. He says, well, you know, I think, you know, they were getting into a philosophical discussion on the way to the jail or the police place. So he's saying, you know, and he brought up Descartes. You know, I think, well, if I don't see it happening, then it doesn't exist. So then the devotee said to him, well, what happens if you're chasing a thief and the thief goes around the corner? Now, you don't see him, so therefore he's not there. You're not going to chase him anymore? So he was defeated and he let the devotee go. Anyway. Yeah, it's a good one, huh? Good argument. If I don't see it, therefore it's not there. And so anyway, if you ever get caught by the police in New York, you can use that argument. And now they're much more favorable. That was in the beginning of the movement. So anyway, these philosophers, Prabhupada says, that they create. It's not their creation. They haven't created all these things. So how can they say it's false, that these categories are false? So let's see what Prabhupada says. They are manifested by Lord Vishnu. Vishnu made these differences here. Spiritual and material categories are made possible by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually there are no such distinctions for the living entities who are eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. There is only a material robe for those who want to imitate the Lord and become enjoyers. Indeed, material robe is nothing but forgetfulness of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of everything. Distinction between matter and spirit is created by the sleeping energy of the Lord when the Lord wants to give some facility to those living entities who want to imitate the Lord in his enjoyment. So it doesn't exist for those who are pure devotees. It is only for them this material world is created by the dormant energy of the Lord. Then Prabhupada gives the example, the children want to cook in the kitchen, the mother gives some toys. Similarly, when some of us want to imitate him, then Krishna creates this world. So it is a glance of the Lord, the material energy is activated. So then at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, since all the activities of Narayan are spiritual, when Narayan said, let there be creation, that creation was all spiritual. The material only exists for those who have forgotten that Narayana is the original cause. So it's very, if you read that purport and study it, you might, a lot of questions might come to your mind. Like, okay, so how is this world, what's illusion and what's reality, actually? What is reality and what's illusion? Everything is illusion. Now we know. Okay. Madhavendra Puri says everything is illusion. Does everybody agree?
Except Krishna.
Except Krishna. Okay. Good.
And since everything is Krishna.
Since everything is Krishna.
Nothing illusion.
Okay. Nothing is illusion. Okay. Now we have a vote for nothing is illusion. Here we have a vote for everything is illusion. Except Krishna. Yes? Yeah, distinguish.
Are we talking about all kinds of transcendentalists?
Gyanis.
We're not talking about devotees.
No, Gyanis. The Gyanis distinguish. That's their thing. The Gyanis, the way they try to understand the truth is they say, they try to figure out the difference between matter and spirit. They make a difference. And they figure, okay, we'll find out what is spirit. And then we'll merge. Yeah.
But don't we do that also?
We do, everything we do, whatever we do, it's from all the paths. Everything is included. Yes. Yeah, we say we're not this body. Correct. Even Krishna says we're not this body. Yes. Right. Then you have to take the next step after that. Therefore, if I'm not this body, then what are you?
I'm spirit soul.
Spirit soul. Yes. And if you're spirit soul, then, yeah.
God.
Which verse is that?
The
yeah, Brija.
It's just the opposite. The onlooker sees only one.
No. Onlooker. Onlooker sees two. Yeah,
and
he's right. Okay, so anybody else have any? You can look it up. Yeah, you can look that up. Okay, any other comments on this? Reality and illusion. Bhagavatam, first verse or second verse? Second verse, I think. Second verse. To distinguish vastu and vastavam, reality from illusion, is one of the purposes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's included in our bhakti line, of course. Brahman is there. We don't say there's no Brahman. Brahman is also part of our philosophy. Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And here Paramatma is specifically mentioned. After Brahman.
It's 428.63.
428.63. If you want to look up.
But say if somebody's Brahman realized.
Right.
He doesn't know.
Right. He has very limited knowledge. He has limited knowledge.
Also there is nothing.
Yes. So the problem with going to the merging in the Brahman is that it may be temporary because it's not his eternal constitutional position. It's all one. If you want that, Krishna will let you have it. Merge in my Brahman? Why not?
That is the
Yes.
Oh.
So you disagree, you think, well, also material, the material only exists for those who have forgotten that Narayana is the original cause. Yes. You're what?
One could argue.
Yes, one could argue. What about the Brahman realized people?
Yeah, they also see
there's no material for them? There's no matter.
They have not the connection with the original cause.
But we have to look from the viewpoint of eternity. Because these people, as according to Srila Prabhupada, to merge in the Brahman is also temporary. And sometimes he even says it's material, because it's temporary. In that sense. In one sense, you can look, okay, there's no material for them. But then because it's not natural for them, it's not their original identity, therefore there is material for them, because they can't stay there. Avishuddha. Because their intelligence is impure, there is some material, even though there may not be, for some time, there may not be any material for them. They may rise very high for some time, but then again they have to come down. So this is the problem. So yeah, in one sense, you are correct, but in another, if you look at it on a higher level, then actually there is material. So let's go on. 64. Shistam sashatyeda manupavishtas chatevitam puramatmam shikena atavirastam visham santamanta vante vishikar madhisarakanya. My dear Lord, after creating by your own potencies, you enter within the creation in four kinds of forms. Being within the hearts of the living entities, you know them and know how they are enjoying your senses. The so-called happiness of this material creation is exactly like the bee's enjoyment of honey after it has been collected in the honeycomb. So continuing with the creation, he expands himself as super soul and in the hearts of everyone and also the living entities. Swamsha and Vipinamsha expansions are there. The Vipinamsha is in this verse, which you can say Sanskrit or English. Where are the small expansions? Where are they represented here? Atmam Shakena, your part and parcel. Yeah, that's Vipinamsha. Also Chaturvitam. Atmam Shakena, yes. So that's Vipinamsha. And then his Purusham Santa, yes. Within, there is the super soul. So Prabhupada gives an example, actually not Prabhupada, not only Prabhupada, but the verse gives an example. How is it like enjoyment of honey by the bees after it's been collected in the honeycomb? What's the problem with the bees' enjoyment of honey? Yes. Are biting, yes. End of the purport, Prabhupada says. What is the news of this material world? Human society is exactly like a beehive, for everyone is engaged in collecting honey from various flowers or collecting money from various sources and creating large empires for common enjoyment. However, after these empires are created, the bites of other nations have to be suffered. Sometimes nations declare war upon one another and human beehives become sources of misery. Although human beings are creating their beehives in order to enjoy the sweetness of their senses, they are at the same time suffering from the bites of other persons or nations. And this is the news of this material world. Latest news. That is, I think, the end of the purport by Srila Prabhupada, somewhere at the end of 64. Last paragraph, it's in the last paragraph. So verse 65 explains how we can see Krishna in this world. Saishalokanna chitanda vega vikashasi tram kalakalayana bhutani vatayana meya tattva kana padirvaya vivasaya. My dear Lord, your absolute authority cannot be directly experienced, but one can guess by seeing the activities of the world that everything is being destroyed in due course of time. Force of time is very strong, and everything is being destroyed by something else. Just as one animal is being eaten by another animal. Time scatters everything, exactly as the wind scatters clouds in the sky. So now we've gone through creation and maintenance, and now we're at destruction. Now the world's being destroyed in one verse, or two verses, describing time. So this is how we can perceive the authority of the Lord in this world. Beginning of the purport. Process of destruction is going on according to the law of nature. Nothing within this material world can be permanent, although scientists, philosophers, workers, and everyone else are trying to make things permanent. One foolish scientist recently declared, eventually life will be made permanent through science. So Prabhupada on a morning walk was discussing the scientists with one devotee. And the devotee said to Prabhupada, the scientists are trying to convince people they can preserve the brain for many years after death. He said, but they have to cut your head off to do it. So Prabhupada said, any volunteers? Now this is, and they said, so far no one has volunteered to have their brain preserved after death. But there's also, when I was, in the 70s, I think they were preserving, I don't know if they still are, but they were preserving bodies in dry ice. If you have some disease, before you die, they preserve your body in dry ice, and then when they get a cure, then they thaw you out.
Disney, yeah.
And they try, and when they get the cure for the disease, then they thaw you out. Yeah. But I heard they pulled out the plug because they wanted the money or something. Walt Disney's. he didn't get a chance to. Yeah. It must be really hellish to be in that state of being frozen. Just imagine. Your body's frozen and what are you doing all that time? The genetic code. Yes. Yes. Okay. So let us see your experiment. Anyway. Right. They're always trying to imitate creation. Destruction is easy. Destruction they can do very easily. But the creation part and the maintenance part is difficult. That they cannot do. So this is how we see the hand of the Lord. Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, although we do not see hand of the Lord, Supreme Lord directly, we can feel the presence of that hand through the Lord's process of destruction. So when you get, of course, past 40, 50, you start feeling that hand of the Lord. Even before you may feel it, if you get some disease or something, you do feel this hand of the Lord as time, destructive process. There's another nice analogy of the in Bhagavad Gita. There's one sentence, Prabhupada says, although we do not directly see the Supreme Personality of God, we can see He controls the process of destruction. Even before that, we can see the clouds scattered by the wind, although we cannot see how this is being done, because it is not possible to see the wind. So there's a verse, Sutre Maniganaiva, that everything is strung on, like pearls on a thread. So we cannot see the thread, we see the pearls, we don't see the thread behind it. So we don't see Krishna's hand. Of the devotees, they can see. So verse 66. Pramattamocharitikrittachintaya pravittalovam vishayesha lalasam tamapramatta savasabhipatyase shilelihanahe vakumantaka. My dear Lord, all living entities within this material world are mad after planning for things, and they are always busy with a desire to do this or that. This is due to uncontrollable greed. The greed for material enjoyment is always existing in the living entity, but your Lordship is always alert, and in due course of time you strike him just as a snake seizes a mouse and very easily swallows him. So the snake of time is waiting. We heard that very nice one-verse analogy yesterday. The tiger's in front, the hunter's in back. Was there anybody else waiting there for two of them? And meanwhile, we're chewing beautiful grass, green grass in the beautiful garden and hearing the humming of the bees. But meanwhile, the tiger is waiting. And here it's a snake. Snake is waiting to seize the mouse. It very easily swallows him. Snake of time. So what is the word to describe the people of this material world? In Sanskrit, there is one word. Pramattam, yes. Yes, what is that? Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. So because they're mad, they engage in so many sinful activities, not realizing that this body is temporary, and they're going to hell. Blind leading, is that the blind leading the blind, right? So Prabhupada says in paragraph 2, the atheists, everything is enacted by the laws of nature, and these laws are under direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The atheists or unintelligent men do not know this. They're busy making their own plans, and big nations are busy expanding their empires. And yet, we know that in due course of time, many empires have come into existence and been destroyed. So that's history repeats itself. So what is an analogy of these empires coming and going? Is there an analogy came to my mind, thinking of something that Prabhupada describes this. And that is, if you're on the beach and you're building sand castles, you're building sand castles on the beach, and then the ocean comes and destroys them. So this is just like people, America, big nation, big empire, and then it's destroyed. England had a huge empire, and then it was destroyed. Now America has some empire. Now it will also.
Egypt.
Russia also had an empire, and that was destroyed. So now this is the news, more news about this material world. Prabhupada is giving more news in the purport, the faults of the so-called political leaders. They are busy making plans to advance the material prosperity of their nation, but factually, these political leaders only want an exalted position for themselves. They falsely represent themselves as leaders before the people and collect their votes, although they are completely under the grip of the laws of material nature. So this, I think, Patri, you did a video on this, on the leaders of modern civilization comparing to Prithu Maharaj. So that would be nice to see. Anyway, we can see how they only want their own aggrandizement. And Prabhupada concludes that if we want peace, then we have to accept the Lord as the proprietor, enjoyer, and friend of everyone. So then we'll go to verse 67. Kastvat parajam vijahati pandita yasteva mana yama vyavyamala ketana vishankaya smagura rachati smaya vinapapati manavashatarsha. My dear Lord, any learned person knows that unless he worships you, his entire life is spoiled. Knowing this, how could he give up worshipping your lotus feet? Even our father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, unhesitatingly worship you, and the 14 Manus followed in his footsteps. So this is the therefore, since creation, maintenance, destruction are going on and time is waiting like a snake, therefore we should worship the Supreme Lord. And everyone else did it. He's giving examples. Brahma, our father, Brahma, worship you and 14 Manus also. So then Prabhupada, in this purport, in the second paragraph, thus, when the wise man actually becomes wise, is that in this? Second paragraph. After many births and whimsical attempts at self-realization, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Such a Mahatma, or a learned person, knows that Krishna, Vasudeva, is everything. Vasudeva Saramiti. Learned persons always think that life is wasted unless they worship Lord Krishna or become his devotee. Srila Rupa Goswami also says when one becomes an advanced devotee, he understands, and then he lists all the 9 qualities of bhava. So we'll just read these, and I'll ask you if you can tell me a person who personifies or exemplifies each of these qualities. First one, reserved and perseverant, kshanti. Can be from the Shastra. There is actually, and he's described in Nectar of Devotion. Who? Parikshit Maharaj, yes. Why? Yes, he was saying, I don't care, let the snake bird bite me, I'm ready, I'm just going to sit here and hear the glories of the Lord. Reserved and perseverant. And not only that, he was fasting and he was not drinking water and not sleeping for 7 days and nights. So avyartha kalatvam, not waste time, who exemplifies this quality? Not wasting time. Prabhupada. Katvanga Maharaj, very good. Kadwanga Maharaj. Haridas Thakur. Three lakhs Hare Krishna every day. So these are examples, not wasting time. Virakti, detached. Gaur Kishoras Babaji Maharaj. Yes. Who? Raghunath Das Goswami. Yes, he's the example. Mana Shunyata. And don't long for any material respect in return for your activities. Who?
Lord Rishabdev.
Oh, Virakti is Lord Rishabdev. Yes, Rishabdev. Mana Shunyata, not expecting any respect. Rishabdev, yes. And Bharat Maharaj, he also followed in his footsteps. Okay, Ashabanta. Hope against hope. Krishna will give his mercy. Who was that? Oh, it's Madan Gopal. He's the example. So we should all follow in Madan Gopal's footsteps. Ashabanta. Okay, well, Madhavendra Puri says, this is very high. This is Raga Bhakti. That's all right, you don't know. You don't know the hearts of everyone. Uddhava. Ashabanta. Yes. Pralad Maharaj. Also, Rupa Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami. He composed some prayers, I believe, in that. Even though I'm so fallen, I'm not in a good family, and I'm all this and I'm that, still I hope against hope that somehow I will be accepted as your servant. Eagerness, samutkanta. Samutkanta, who is eager? The thief who wanted to steal the jewels from Krishna came to Vrindavan looking for Krishna. Eagerness. And the sages, Vrindavanasharanya, I would say, they're waiting, of course that's more like patience. So 1,000 years they're going to hear Krishna Katha. Eagerness and patience. Namagana Sararuchi. Eager to glorify. Yes. This is eagerness, chanting and hearing. Another type. Eagerness to serve. Samudkanta. Namagana Sararuchi is chanting and hearing. Eagerness to chant and hear. Ruchi. Taste.
Vidura.
Vidura. Everybody. Shukadev. Avidas Thakur. And eager to describe. This is Asaktis Tadgunakhyane. Eager to describe the qualities of the Lord. Shukadev Goswami. Attracted to the places where the Lord has his pastime. Pritis Tad Vasatis Dale. Eager to stay in the. Prabodhananda Saraswati. Prabodhananda Saraswati. Prabodhananda Saraswati. Oh, heavy, heavy statement about Prabhupada Saraswati. Also, I was thinking of Gadadhar. Was it Gadadhar who took Kshetra Sannyas in Jagannath Puri? Gadadhar. Okay, Prabhupada's instructions for us at the end of paragraph 3. In this age, human beings only live for 60 or 80 years, and even this small lifespan is gradually decreasing. Therefore, it is even more imperative for human beings to take to the worship of the lotus feet of the Lord by constantly chanting Hare Krishna Mantra, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chanadapi sunichena taradipa sahishina manina manatena kirtanaya sadahari. When one is engaged in devotional service, he is often surrounded by envious people, and often many enemies come to try to defeat him or stop him. This is not new in this present age, for even in the days of yore, Prahlad Maharaj, who was engaged in devotional service of the Lord, was harassed by his demoniac father, Hiranyakashipu. So here's more news, bad news for the devotees. The atheists are always prepared to harass a devotee. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suggested one be very tolerant of these people. Nonetheless, one has to continue chanting Hare Krishna Mantra and preaching the chanting of this mantra, because such preaching and chanting constitute the perfection of life. One should chant and preach about the urgency of making his life perfect in all respects. One should thus engage in devotional service of the Lord and follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas, beginning with Lord Brahma and others. So how to follow in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and others? Prabhupada explains in a purport 2.9.18 about Lord Brahma, and he describes the Paramahansa path. And he says, following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, any person, even up to this day, can attain the same perfection by following the path of the Paramahansa as recommended herein. Lord Chaitanya also approved of this method of self-realization for men in this age. So here's two important qualities Prabhupada is going to give us instructions. One should first, with all conviction, believe in the personality of God as Shri Krishna. Second, without making efforts to realize him by speculative philosophy, one should prefer to hear about him from Srimad Bhagavad Gita and later from the text of Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. These two things are required, and we can follow the footsteps of Lord Brahma. Verse 68. Patatam vasino paman paramatman vipashitam vishvamudapayatastam akutashipayagate. My dear Lord, all actually learned persons know you as a supreme Brahman and Supersoul, although the entire universe is afraid of Lord Rudra, who ultimately annihilates everything. For the learned devotees, you are the fearless destination of all. So this is Lord Shiva speaking. How can Lord Shiva be afraid of Rudra? Prabhupada explains in the purport, he is Rudra. So how is he going to be afraid of Rudra? Anybody read the purport? There's 11 Rudras, so maybe one of the other ones is the one who's going to destroy him. He doesn't know. And that's what Prabhupada says in the purport. If one strictly follows, this is the last paragraph, the process of devotional service, he has no fear of death, for he is predestined to go back home, back to Godhead. The non-devotees are fearful of death because they have no guarantee of where they're going or the type of body they're going to get in their next life. The root Rudra Paya is significant in this verse because Rudra himself, Lord Shiva, is speaking of fear of Rudra. This indicates there are many Rudras, 11 Rudras, and the Rudra, Lord Shiva, who is offering this prayer, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is different from the other Rudras, although he is as powerful as they are. Conclusion is that one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra because each and every one of them is engaged in destruction of this cosmic manifestation. So just see, even Rudra is afraid of Rudra. But for the devotee, everyone is afraid of Rudra, even Rudra himself. A devotee is never afraid of Rudra because he's always secure being protected by the lotus feet of the Lord. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita.
He's the best devotee.
Yeah, he's the best devotee.
So it says a devotee is never
afraid. Devotees, oh, how is this? Lord Shiva's Vaishnavanam Yatashambhu, devotee's never afraid. So how come he's afraid if he's a devotee? Good question. He's playing the role of conditioned soul. Yes. Yes. Everybody agrees. So Krishna says, Kantiya patijanihi nami bhakti pranashati. My dear Arjuna, you may declare publicly my pure devotee will not be vanquished under any circumstances. Yes, and Krishna often comes to the rescue of Lord Shiva, as in the case of Rikashura. He came to his rescue.
He doesn't say that in this
way. He doesn't say what? Afraid. Prabhupada says in the purport. Yeah. The purport Prabhupada says that. That's why I read it. Conclusion. Prabhupada says the conclusion is one Rudra is afraid of another Rudra.
Yeah, but Vishnu
is not Rudra. He's not Rudra. Well, according to Srila Prabhupada, why he's, it says Rudra Paya, Lord Shiva was offering this prayer.
He's different from the other Rudra.
That's what it seems. There are many Rudras. Well, it sounds like he's one of them. Rudra Paya. Prabhupada is indicating that he's one of the Rudras. He's different from the other Rudras. Although he may be one of them. He's one of the 11. There are 11. And he may be one of them, and he's afraid of the other ones, the other 10. Because we don't know who's in charge of destroying me. It is, you know, one of them may be...
They're all devotees, though.
Yeah, they're all devotees. Anyway, this is, we can only understand what Prabhupada says. Do you have anything you want to look it up in the commentary on 68, Rudra Baya?
69.
Is it? No, 68. Yeah. Anyway, while you're looking it up, we'll read 69. Idam chapata patram pa vishudharik panandana sutarma manutishtanta bhagavati apitasya. My dear sons of the king, just execute your occupational duty as kings with a pure heart. Just chant this prayer, fixing your mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. That will bring you all good fortune, for the Lord will be very much pleased with you. So this is the conclusion. He's giving final instructions. You act as kings and you chant this prayer. and you will get all good fortune, and you will please the Lord. And this is the purpose of life, how to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the purport, Prabhupada brings it down to our modern day and age, how we can please Krishna. That is about four lines down. Whether one is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, American, Englishman, Indian, etc., one can execute devotional service anywhere and everywhere in the material existence simply by offering prayers unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Sanskrit, what is this anywhere and everywhere? From Chatushloki? Sarvatra, Sarvada. Sarvatra, Sarvada. Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is also a prayer, for a prayer addresses the Supreme Personality of Godhead by His name and invokes good fortune by petitioning the Lord to allow one to engage in His devotional service. So this is the ultimate prayer. Prabhupada is reminding us. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also says, my dear Lord Krishna, my dear Lord Ram, O energy of the Lord, Hare, kindly engage me in your service. Although one may be situated in a lowly position, he can execute devotional service under any circumstance, as stated, Ahaitukya Pratyata. Devotional service cannot be checked by any material condition. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recommended this process. Jnane prayasamudapasyadamanta eva jivanti samkaritam bhavadiyavartam stane stitashatigatam taluvamanabhi ye prayasachitachitapyasitaishchilokyam. One may remain situated in his own place or his own occupational duty and still lend his ear to receive the message of the Lord from realized souls. The Krishna Conscious Movement is based on this principle, and we are opening centers all over the world to give everyone a chance to hear the message of Lord Krishna in order to go back home, back to Godhead. So that's our prayer, the ultimate prayer, and this is, we'll hear tomorrow that this, these prayers of Lord Shiva are the yoga of the holy name. Yoga of the holy name. We'll discuss that more tomorrow, and how we can enhance our chanting of the holy name also.
You mean to say the whole
yeah, that's what, tomorrow, verse 71, he says, in the form of a prayer, I have delineated the yoga system of chanting the holy name. It's verse 71. So this is the yoga system of chanting the holy name. These are the prayers of Lord Shiva. He said, in the form of prayers. So that's what's behind all these prayers, is the yoga of the yoga system of chanting the holy name. So you can figure, you can meditate on that tonight. How are these prayers the yoga system of chanting the holy name? And tomorrow we'll discuss this point. How is it the yoga system of chanting the holy names? So we'll stop here. Any more questions or discussion or comments? Yes, I appreciate.
There is an interesting comment by
Jiva Goswami. On Rudrabaya?
Nobody
touches that. Okay, out of Rudrabaya. He received it from Brahma, in the beginning of creation. Yes. Oh, great. This is nice. I'll repeat it. Verses, Jiva Goswami says, comment on verses 60 to 66. Without bhakti, without the mercy of bhakti,
it is like, very difficult to understand the Lord.
It's very difficult to understand the Lord. The seven verses cover four tattvas.
Brahman,
Bhagavan,
Antaryami,
Super Soul,
Kala
or time. So Brahman, Bhagavan, Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, and Kala. Okay, so first it comes Brahman, Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Kala. Four tattvas.
Verse 60 covers Brahman.
60 is Brahman. 61 Bhagavan.
62 through 64.
Antaryami, Super Soul.
And 65
Paramatma.
And 66 is time.
Yeah, 65 and 66 is time, Kala.
And these verses are hard to understand.
Okay, it shows how Brahman is Durbodha, hard to understand.
Then Paramatma is
Duraradhya. Oh, Paramatma is Duraradhya.
So,
Bhagavan is Duravadya.
Hard to worship.
Hard to worship.
Paramatma is Durvasa.
What? Dur?
Vasa.
Vasa?
Vasa.
Uncontrollable. Uncontrollable. Durvasa. Paramatma is uncontrollable. Durvasa. So we have Durbodha, Duravatya and Duravasha.
And how time is Duksaha.
Duksaha. Time is Duksaha. D-U-H. Duksaha. Difficult to tolerate. Okay. Supersoul is Duravasha. Difficult to control. There's a comment in Sanskrit. Jiva Goswami. It's in he has a Sanskrit. On this chapter. Adi Purush is reading from Sanskrit commentaries on his computer in Sanskrit, and he's translating for us into English, right? So that's what's happening. That's the news.
What is Brahman?
Brahman is Durbhota. Durbhota means, I forgot what it means.
Hard to understand.
Okay. Durbhota for Brahman. Duraratya for Bhagawan. And Duravasha for Supersoul. And Du-saha, difficult to tolerate. Du-saha, difficult to tolerate. Well, that's nice. Nice to know. I have to write that. Yeah, I know. I remember that. That's in, which verse is that? He mentioned Duraratya. Might have mentioned Durbhota too. I don't know. He didn't mention. I know Duraratya was there. And I think... 50, no, it's in... Yeah, stands for, but he it was in the verses we read. Duraratya. It's in 55. Duraratya. Very difficult to worship.
For those who are not devotees.
Yes. And then he talks about time again there, 56. Talks about time, Duraratya, and then time again. So we can see some interesting themes going in and out of his prayers here. Very nice. And then I also, in the previously I found the Bhagavan, Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan in the beginning too. So now he's concluding the same thing, Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, in relationship to devotional service, because now we've heard about devotional service in between. In between the beginning and the end of this prayer, as we've heard about Krishna and devotional service, so now he brings in devotional service, in relationship to devotional service, then these are the tattvas, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. First we just heard them stated, and then we heard devotional service, and now we hear more qualities of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan in relationship to devotional service. Well, thank you for that, for those commentaries of the of Jiva Goswami. Any other comments, commentaries? And if he lives so long. He started before. Yeah, it requires a group effort, I think. Next generation can do that. Translate. Yes. 67 purport. What we should preach about. Making this life. Yes. So what we should preach about, the end of purport 67, the urgency of making this life perfect in all respects. Urgency, yes. It's urgent, it's an emergency.
Make them understand how the situation is so urgent.
Yes, it's an emergency situation.
But we can't preach about the urgency of making this life perfect.
And if you hear Prabhupada's earliest lectures, his voice has a real sense of pleading, begging, please, you know, really like almost begging us to listen to him and accept what he's saying. Yes.
Yeah,
the sun scars. Yeah, it's very interesting because my son, he was watching movie at one point. Now he's, of course, he's still sometimes, but he used to watch him a lot. And then he would dream at night that he was one of the characters in the movie. And I said, yeah, next life you will be.
He's very addictive.
You will be one of these characters in the movie, you know, driving up cliffs and whatever. Yes.
Yeah. There's
an intention behind it. There's something behind it. I think they want, you know, I think they want to get people into the army or something. Because at one point my son wanted to. Yes. Yeah, to control people.
More and more.
To consume more.
Yes, consumer society. Take more, enjoy more. Yes, to create desires.
Create
fear, anxiety. Okay, any more comments?
Jaya Gosthi.